Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, this is Seth Payne.
And Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast?
Of course I did. Oh, you're asking everybody else. You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts whenever it works for you.
Guys, it's 6:10 to talk about on the radio.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here, been telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
What is that, ostrich?
Hell no, that's python.
It's Sterney's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yeah, it is a little thirsty Thursday out at Buffalo Wild Wings, Washington Avenue. I know if you're out there listening, you know where it's at. We're inside the loop. In the city, Washington Avenue. If you've been out down around these parts, any, you know exactly where we are. Buffalo Wild Wings, come on through. Have you a couple of cold brews. Get you something to bite to eat. And,
the drinks is flowing now.
Yeah, Ron's over here with them copper cups now. He's over here with them copper cups. He's on about number three. I've been counting over here.
It's just two. It's one and a half.
I've been
counting. Why are you trying to push that?
I've been counting. I think it's three.
No, it's two. It is three.
I don't know. I think it's
three. No, man. Get out of here now.
Whether it's two or three, I tell you what you need to do is you need to hang on.
I am switching up them bourbons and whiskeys.
There you go.
You need them all out.
You need to hang on. Texans offensive coordinator Nick Caley, we're going to play him in full. Today is his day to speak to the media.
That's right.
We are going to play him in full for you here in this hour of the show. And so stay plugged in, Texans offensive coordinator. Look, I mean, when it comes to hearing, I mean, D'Amico, I definitely want to hear from the head coach. I definitely want to hear from the quarterback. But right now, given what we're watching with the Texans and what all, obviously is at stake here with this offense, there's nobody that I want to hear from more than the offensive coordinator. I want to hear good times, hard times, bad times. Ron, I want to hear it all. So, looking forward to hearing Nick Caley in this 4 o'clock hour. Texans OC will be in full. We'll play that in full, so stay plugged in. But for the time being, Ron, we've had a couple of conversations the last 2 days that have got me to thinking. I really, to be honest with you, since watching the film, I told you yesterday, I'm concerned about Christian Kirk.
You're really concerned.
In fact, I'm at a point where if the guy that I watched on film for two games, now it's only two games, small sample size, so make of it what you will. If the guy that I've watched in two games now all of a sudden explodes to be the guy that, I'll be honest, that I expected the Texans would get when they acquired him from Jacksonville, I will be surprised. I'll be surprised. Ron, I know you were high on Christian Kirk.
Yep.
And we've seen two games. I got to believe that you at least are going, hey, what's going on here? We got to get him some touches and figure out what he's bringing to the table.
Well, yeah, his impact is not anywhere near what I thought it would be. They need it to be. As I said yesterday, I mean, he's like the Texans have some Applebee's guys on this team. I didn't think Christian Kirk would be another two for 20 guy. And that's not what this team needs. They had those guys, and they needed him to be a big piece that in the passing game took the pressure off of Nico Collins. And I am just going to at least wait for the thought of, does he feel completely healthy? Is he completely comfortable with that hamstring issue? And is that potentially what is making him look less explosive, look different? But they need that to improve, right?
Yeah.
They gotta have that, or they gotta move someone else. Because you just thought, all right, Nico Collins is going to get a lot of attention, and in the middle of the field, like bam, you see him maybe get used the way that Wes Welker was, and Julian Edelman was in this offense, where he's getting, I think it's six, seven, eight, nine catches a ball game. and being a big outlet for him, and he's not even getting the receptions.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, the question here is, should the Texans be prepping to aggressively pursue a wide receiver now or just preparing for the trade deadline to acquire a wide receiver? And Ron, I'm with you. I do think there is a potential hamstring that's still kind of nagging along on Christian Kirk. I do think that, you know, that could get better. I do think that these youngsters in Higgins and Noel could play a part, a bigger part. But I don't know if we're in a spot where the right thing to do, the smart thing to do, is to wait and see, play the wait and see game on these guys. I would damn sure start prepping. I think this offense, even fully healthy.
You're convinced, though. You're convinced.
Well, I'm just convinced that Christian Kirk isn't all of a sudden going to be a guy that's going to relieve pressure from Nico Collins and C.J. Stroud. This offense doesn't seem to be an offense that is going to move Nico around the way you need to when he's the only real threat that is has pelts on the wall that we know can hit his head on the goalpost. And so, you know, you look at that, like, this offense is a little bit restricted, if you will, in a sense of moving guys around and using receivers real creatively. It looks like Christian Kirk is a little bit slowed by either father time or a hamstring. It's obvious that the two young guys have a hard time getting on the field, right, with this particular offense where it's at right now. And so I think the Texans should be prepping right now. I think this is – it's blatantly obvious after a month of football that there is a lack of explosion and speed on this offense. And now I'm not saying you got to go out there and find a guy that's a volume catch guy, right? I'll be honest with you. For me personally, I think what the Texans at the very least need to do is go find a receiver that can take the top off of defense, because right now you don't have that guy. Higgins may be that guy in the long run. I think Noel has some speed, but he's more of a shifty speed and more of a create separation as he gets in and out of cuts. But I think you got to find a straight line guy. I think you got to find a guy that scares the hell out of defenses. And if you're and I'm I mean, talking
who's
about
the closest thing they have, Higgins, is that the
Nico? Well, I'd say Nico. But it's one of those where even when a team plays cover two or a team plays quarters. As we see, this team is going to – like CJ is going to be – they're going to be very open about CJ needs to get this thing out, get it out quick, minimize the risk. Teams are going to start suffocating. Teams are going to start suffocating. Do you have a guy that when they decide they want to suffocate, that, boy, them safeties are like, whoo, I better not get my eyes in the backfield or somebody's going to run by
run
me.
Past.
Right? And then Nico's not going to surprise anybody, I don't think. But I do think there's an opportunity there. I think this Texans team needs it, and I think there's going to be an opportunity there to go get a guy like that. Now Tyreek Hill obviously is not the kind of guy that I was talking about, but of the free agent wide receivers, I'm sorry, of the wide receivers that are going to be available, he obviously is out of that mix with the injury.
But you don't even need it to be that high level, right?
No. I tell you,
the Chiefs have Tyquan Thornton.
Yes.
Somebody like that.
Yes.
And I bet you there are teams around that have guys that have speed that you're like, all right, can you open up things and
right.
take the top off?
Well, I tell you, there's going to be teams. Here's the team to pay attention to right now is the New York Giants. When they lose Malik Nabers, right, they're going to have to go out and give their young quarterback, they're going to have to find somebody to replace him. Now, I'm not saying there's another Malik Nabers running around out there, but like, pay attention to them. You're going to find out what kind of
– Slayton.
Like what kind of receivers, you know, are available out there, because the New York Giants, conversation around them is going to be who's available of trade, what teams are going to be offloading everybody. Like right now I'm watching one team that a lot of folks believe are going to be unloading talent is the New Orleans Saints, right? And a lot of people immediately look at Chris Olave. I would not mess with Chris Olave. I think he's had more concussions than Azeez Al-Shaair has caused, I believe. I would go with a guy like that. What I'm talking about is a guy like Rashid Shaheed.
Yep.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a guy like that. You're not to give up a boatload to get him. He's not going to be a guy that's going to come in here and give you 1,000 yards, but he is absolutely a guy that if a safety wants to sit on a dig route that Nico Collins is running, or if a safety wants to get his nose in the backfield, Shaheed will flat run by you. I mean, he's a guy – he's one of those guys for CJ of how far can you throw it? how far can you throw it, right? So you got the Jacoby Myers, you got the Chris Olaves, you got the Rashid Shaheed, you got a lot of wide receivers, and I think that group is going to grow because some of these teams that are sliding and not playing well are going to offload some cap. And there's going to be guys come available. But right now, just for the sake of the conversation, Ron, the guy I'm talking about is Rashid Shaheed. He'd be a guy that I would like – stylistically, the guy that I would like to see in a Texas uniform.
Darius Slayton with the Giants is somebody else that has some speed. Mm-hmm. Wendell Robinson, another one.
Yep, Wandell,
has some speed.
He was actually on the list. Robinson was actually on a short list that I saw of wide receivers. I like him. But that's he's more of the shifty. Like I think Noel could do some of those things.
Here's my concern with that thought.
Okay.
Is how important is it to you that guys like Higgins and Noel don't get blocked? I mean, these are guys that the number one pick that you used this year was on Higgins, and then you looked at Noel in the third round as well. That was they want to see those guys develop. And if you bring another one of those guys in, I don't think they're going to just bench Christian Kirk and his $17 million that he's making or whatever. Like, I wonder how much you stunt those guys' development.
Yeah, look, and I think that's a conversation, but you're a 10-win team, second-round playoffs. I mean, you're trying to improve off that. We're not – you know, I don't know that slowing down for anybody not named Nick Caley at this point in time is the best route for the Houston Texans. This guy would complement all of those guys, in my opinion. You know, you would end up with, you know, instead of an Xavier Hutchinson being your fourth guy, who is a trusty wide receiver, he bumps to your fifth guy, and now you can roll with it. There's just a lack of speed, and when you don't have somebody that can take the top off the coverage, it just makes it significantly easier to suffocate your offense. And your tight end is dependable. Your tight end is not going to press anybody up the field vertically and from a speed perspective.
So when you watch this offense, that's what you see that's missing.
Yes.
Is somebody to back things off.
Yes, and I think it's going to be blatantly obvious. Because we just watched this offense play against a piss poor defense, right? Against a defense that had no choice but to back up and for four quarters just let them check the ball down, keep everything in front of you, and then when it came time to press a little bit, boom, they hit them, they struck them, they struck their best corner, they struck a slot with a rookie, they had Dalton Schultz twice up to shoot for a chunk play as well. You can do it against lesser opponents. What we're going to see is better athletes, better defenses, better coach defenses. You're going to see them suffocate, and then that's when we're going to realize, like, man, we're having a hard time separating. We've got right now one guy that we believe can separate, and they are tilting the coverage.
Yeah,
they're tilting the coverage to that guy in a big way. And so I just think life would be a lot easier on C.J. Stroud. Life would be a lot easier on Nico Collins. Take the underneath stuff, take the underneath stuff would be a lot easier to strike them where it hurts if you had somebody outside that you could bank on. I don't, to your question, Ron, I don't think this stunts the development of any of those. No, I just don't. I think you could argue, I think there's a conversation there, maybe Higgins, because you'd like Higgins to be that guy, but I don't know that Higgins can run that well. I don't know that Higgins is the kind that I'm talking about is a Will Fuller type speed. And adding that to the mix, I think, would be absolutely huge for everybody involved. Right now, you're not deep enough at that position, and there's too many ifs with two or three of the guys in your top four or five receivers. There's too many ifs. There's too many unknowns. There's too many, is it Father Times? Is it an injury? Are they too young? Can you get them touches? They need speed that they can just throw out there and say, hey, man, take the top off this thing. We don't have to get cute. We don't have to throw you screens. We don't have to move you. We don't have to line you up in the backfield. Get your ass out there opposite Nico Collins. And when they squat on Nico Collins, you make them pay.
Text line coming through. Clint, to pick up a wide receiver, why not look at a tight end or interior lineman?
Yeah, I just don't – I wouldn't be opposed to any of it, to be honest with you. I mean, I saw a report where David Njoku could potentially be on a trade block. Like, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to a David Njoku. I'm just telling you what I think is a plug-and-play – doesn't need to know the system, could help you right now. I'm not talking about a guy that's going to help you long term. I mean, I wouldn't even care if this guy's a one-year deal. It's a rental, and you. I'm talking about helping this offense, helping Nick Caley, helping C.J. Stroud right now. Because you want to talk about a rough road. Go win 4 or 5 games this year. Get your offense smothered on top of being a first-time play caller. That took the team that the wins got cut in half for a team when you took a job from Bobby Sloak, who you ran up out of here. To me, I'm still in. Let's put the pieces together that's going to help us win games this year. And I don't think going out and getting – now, if there's a top-notch interior offensive lineman comes available all of a sudden, hell yeah, I'm all for it.
I don't know if I want them to go pick an offensive lineman the way
that – I'm all for this offense is bare, man. I like the running back position right now, oddly enough. I like the running back position with Joe Mixon nowhere to be found. I like the fact of Dalton Schultz having to play more and taking on more responsibility. This offense just lacks speed and weapons. It just lacks speed and weapons.
That is true.
And you need that. You need it. And I don't think it's too much to ask. I think it's very real. If these guys could go find to take the top off the defense, you don't have to be a great route runner. You know, you don't have to be the smartest guy in the world and know where to line up in all 3 different positions and be interchangeable and have all this position flex. Just go out there and have the ability to make a defensive coordinator say, hey, this week, boys, Shahid's out there. CJ will wind up and throw this thing over your head now. Be careful. Like, that's what we're missing right now. And they need it to take the pressure off.
It opens up space. Yeah, it opens up space all around. The field.
You know, the thing that we don't have right now, Ron, is you don't – like, say Baltimore says, man, we feel like our guys are good enough. We're just going to suffocate them. We're just going to come down. We're going to give Nico a little extra attention. But everybody else, they ain't running away from us. We're just going to make it hard on us, make CJ throw windows all day long. Who's going to take the top off this thing? And I don't mean a slot fade with no deep help. I'm talking about you come to the line of scrimmage, you got quarters coverage where the safeties are sitting about 10 yards off, their eyes are in the backfield because we're running it pretty well. Their eyes are in the backfield looking for play action, looking for Dalton Schultz, but it's really like a quarters coverage, and they're just squeezing the hell out of you. You don't have a quick answer fade. Who's going to take top off that?
Maybe they think Higgins is that guy.
I'm not opposed to it. Maybe Higgins. Maybe no.
Maybe he gets more run.
Yeah,
maybe
those guys. I know I would feel a lot better if we were sitting here going, well, I know who can take the damn top off this thing.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't no maybe to it. I just don't know if those guys have it or not. And, you know, we'll find out in about 2 or 3 years. Hell, they got to win some games this year.
Text line coming through. Clint speaking facts. Higgins is the guy. You're dead ass right. It shows on the screen. All right, coming up, we are going to hook somebody up with our first prize, a gift card to Texas Star Grill Shop. So if you're in the building and you have not put your name in our raffle box, you may want to do that because we're going to be hooking somebody up in the next couple of minutes. All right, we got to talk about an athlete here in this city maybe y'all need to back up on how y'all treating this dude. All right? Maybe y'all need to calm down, and he deserves a little bit more respect than trying to be ran out of the city. We'll discuss that coming up next.
I just got to the red carpet. We're wanting to get into a controversy.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Boy, I love our listeners and the folks that come out. My man, I ain't going to put his first name out there. I don't know if he's supposed to be up here. But my man won our first giveaway. And my man said, Tyler, he said, nah, I'm good. I want the other one. You can put my name back in. I said, partner, we... hey, man.
Knows what he wants.
I said, hold on, man. We can't throw your name back in there. He confident that name going to pull up again. He said, I thought he was going to just lie. I said, no, that ain't me. But go ahead and put that back in the box. He said, yeah, that's me, but you can go ahead and put that back in the box. No, man, can't do that, Doug. But take this. That was that dude a couple weeks ago who won the Tomball Ford oil change right before the Texans tickets. Boy, he was hot. He was hot. But no, coming up.
I'm not won enough to be choosy, I don't believe.
Well, I mean, you got to take
I could want more, I ain't won enough to be choosy.
My man said, here, man, I'm good. I want the cooler. I want the cooler. He said, take my chance on the cooler. All right, but come on out. We still have that cooler. And I'm telling you, it's so wanted. People are putting their name back in the box and said, I'm good. But, no, you got a chance to win that in the 5 o'clock hour. Put your name in our raffle box here as we are live here. Buffalo Wild Wings, 3939 Washington Avenue here in the city. Come on out and hang out. All right, Clint Tyler, maybe you've had a little time to decompress and take a deep breath on the Astros season. Yes. The person I'm talking about, the athlete I'm talking about, is not Framber Valdez. I had several people come to me and say, I know you ain't talking about Framber. No, I'm not talking about Framber. But, Clint, I'm seeing a lot of people, and I've watched a lot of people talk about, all right, the Astros offseason, this is what they should do. Trade for this. Trade for another starting pitcher. Bring in this player. Release this player. And almost every one of them, Clint, I'm seeing, try to trade Christian Walker to bring something back. I'm seeing that in a lot. Trade Christian Walker. Reggie is nodding his head. Are we being a little too aggressive with Christian Walker? I mean, listen, I understand he could be a little bit disappointing, and I know people talk about, the old numbers, forget, baseball numbers. I mean, this dude's, yes, 35 years old, but, I mean, he led your team in home runs and RBIs. And I would say the season was disappointing, but damn, are the Astros really, and Astros fans really in a space where you're like, nah, man, to hell with that. 27 home runs, 88 RBIs. Now it wouldn't look as bad, Clint, if Yordan was there, and Paredes didn't get hurt, and half the team didn't get hurt. But damn, I just feel like we've been a little aggressive with Christian Walker.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of middle of the road there. Like, I'm okay with people having the conversation. It doesn't irk me or anything. But I would have to do a little digging, and I did a little digging, and I think it's plum ass silly. I mean, it 3-year, $60 million deal. You're paying the guy $20 million a year. He is a great defensive first baseman. He stays healthy, takes care of himself, plays a lot of baseball. And when you look at I'll use the two numbers that you just used. When you look at RBIs around baseball, and these are guys that played a similar number of games, he was in the same neck of the woods within a couple of RBIs of Bobby Witt Jr. and Freddie Freeman. Right, two pretty well thought of, one older player, one super young player. When you look at home runs, he's in and around the same area as Manny Machado, Cody Bellinger,
Bellinger, yeah.
Christian Yelich and Bryce Harper, and now Bryce didn't play all he played 130 something games, he didn't play 150, but I mean he's in the same range. That 27 to 30 home run range is pretty rich. It's not the 45 you would like him to hit, I guess. I mean, I guess folks want him to hit 40 plus. But from a production standpoint, you're getting every bit of $20 million on the defensive end of it. And offensively, when you look at the numbers, it's not too far-fetched to think that that's a decent deal.
Yeah.
I'm not – Now, he struck out more than anybody on the team. So, I mean,
he has his warts. And I'm not saying – because I understand people want to just, all right, we got Correa and we have, Altuve, and we want to, just move Paredes over to first base. I understand the thought of that. But, I mean this guy's durable. And this – you could say – and I think this is the thing that maybe scares you with Abreu – You could say, all right, this is him slowing down. And I think that's a fear that some people have, like this is him and he's going to go into the tank. I mean, I don't know that it's fair to judge him off of what Abreu did. But yeah. I mean, I under I mean I 27 home runs and 88 RBIs, you know, for guys that were in and out of the lineup. Hell, he had dropped in the seven hole at times. Yeah. You know, I don't know. Well, it's not just a slam dunk to me to, like, all right, move on from his ass.
Yeah, well, I don't think, to me at this point, I don't even think you entertain it. Like, I mean, I guess you need starting pitching worse than anything. So if somebody's just hard up for Christian Walker and it's part of a deal, that's fine. But, like, I don't know that having that staple at first base on the defensive side of it and a bat in the lineup that can produce the numbers that we just put up there, which, again, that's in the company of some pretty damn good players that are highly respected. The other part of this thing, Ron, is I do wonder, and this is not – I mean, I'm just curious. I don't know. I do wonder, though, what do his numbers look like if he has got some level of protection in the lineup? If he has the luxury – that's like I mean, a lot, and you can say that about a lot of the Astros because there's no Yordan Alvarez in the lineup, right? I mean, the only one that played with any level of consistency, right, I mean, that was here all year long is Jose Altuve.
And him.
Once again, right? And I mean, like, just from a their position in the lineup and kind of – did anybody in this lineup, maybe with the exception of Pena getting the support from Altuve to move to the top, did anybody really get the support or the luxury of hitting in the Astros lineup? Right? I mean, so I wonder, you know, what it looks like with Yordan's bat in that lineup the whole time and with guys that are the Correas, the
I just think a lot of this has to do with Jose Abreu. I think a lot of this has to do with
the PTSD
and the thought that he is going to fall off the map.
Yeah.
And listen, it's fair. He's 35. And there were some dips in his game, but listen, I understand how frustrating he was. But if they move on from him, that's fine, and they make something there, and they want to go with Paredes. But for me, it's not just a slam dunk of like that guy's got to sit down, man. He's got to go, man.
To your point, if you can move him and bring in a bigger need, a pitcher, or move him because you've got a Paredes issue here at first base, then we can have that conversation. But the hate that is targeted at Christian Walker is wild to me. And before it's a bit strong.
Yeah.
Well, before I didn't really give a damn, right? I mean, I was like, okay, whatever. I don't have any skin in the game for Christian Walker. He's been here 1 year. But the more I look at it, I'm like, wait a minute. Now that's – I mean, these guys around him statistically in the RBI and the home run category, I'd love to have them on our team. I'd love to have them at the plate. So what the hell am I missing with Christian Walker? Strikeouts are a bit of a problem, but we'll see.
If the entire roster was whole, I'm sorry. If you're telling me, all right, man, this is what you're going to get out of first base. Slash line, 238, 297, not great on-base percentage, 421 slug, 27 homers, 84 RBIs, 25 doubles. With Yordan and Correa, and I probably press the button.
Yeah. Yeah.
for me.
Yeah.
I probably press the button. All right, I see some other people have different thoughts on that, and sure, you're fair to yours. That's just me. All right, coming up, let's hear from Nick Caley. This is a big week for him. All right, this is one of the worst defenses in all of the NFL that is also injured and are going to be without some of their top guys. We'll hear from him and what he had to say today going into the matchup against the Ravens. That's next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here on a Thirsty Thursday, 3939 Washington Avenue. Our good guys are everybody's favorite pilots in the building. I see you out there. I see you, Andrew. We're out here having a good time doing our thing, as always. Half or two thirds of In the Loop is in the building as Reggie and Figgy is out here doing their thing as well. Bud Light Girls taking care of everybody. It's been a great time. Shout out to our bartender. She has been fantastic. And everybody here will take care of you as well. Let's head to NRG as the offensive coordinator, Nick Caley. He spoke to the media and getting ready for this huge game, and a huge game for him going up against this depleted Baltimore Ravens team.
The things that you made strides in, do you feel like were some of the tangible, specific areas where it got better, and do you see room for growth still?
Yeah, I thought we were more efficient in terms of our execution overall. I thought our operation was much cleaner. I thought we were able to sustain and put together long drives, got to finish better. But I thought there were positives from that standpoint for sure.
Would you say Woody Marks has grown, and what has he added to you all's offense?
Yeah, I mean, like, I know I get asked the last couple of weeks about Woody, but Woody's done a really good job since he's been here. I mean, he's a good runner of the football. He's got good vision. He's got good explosive traits. He can catch the football naturally. And obviously, you see what he does in blitz pickup. I mean, somebody asked me the question in this group a couple of weeks ago, how's his blitz pickup? I mean, I think he's put it on tape that he's a violent, you know, protector and can get underneath people and knows where to go. So I've been very pleased with his development. I mean, it's been steady since he's been here, and we'll just continue to keep it on that trajectory.
What would you say the offense does well? What would you say are the strengths, and what would you like to see improve moving forward?
Yeah, I think finishing, from an improvement standpoint, finishing, you know, touchdowns, you know, not just settling for field goals and trying to be able to sustain drives as you cross the 50. Those are obviously important things to be able to do. I think in terms of what we've done well, I think we're a tough team up front. I do. I believe it's extension to the tight ends, to the receivers. You saw, I think, an increase, emphasis in terms of blocking on the perimeter. And, I think that, you know, there's a lot of positives that have come from that. But I think that, you know, number one, the toughness, the physicality, our double teams and combinations have gotten better in the run game. I think our protections improved from week to week. And, you know, I think those are the biggest takeaways I take in terms of the things that we've done, you know, the best so far.
Saw a British get fullback rep in the last game. Is that something that you could kind of envision with Yacobel? British perhaps being a bigger part of the offense in that area?
Yeah, he's like a Swiss Army knife, really. I mean, you know, we're lucky to have him. It's, you know, the more you can do like anything else, I think he embodies that. So whether it's fullback role, whether it's obviously in the kicking game, but even carrying the ball in the backfield, like he does a lot of those things well. He's been steady ever since we've, you know, starting training camp, and you know, we're lucky to have a guy like him on the team, and he's very unselfish. So, you know, we're happy.
Besides the development of Woody Marks, a little bit of a youth movement this past game with Jaden Higgins getting more involved, Jalen Noel. What do you see from the rookie class in general, the guys that play offense for
him? Yeah, I mean, they've shown consistent improvement. We've been pleased with them since they've got here. You know, they have the right attitude, the right approach. Ariante's in that category too. So a lot of those guys, they've helped us, they've contributed, and we just got to continue to push forward. And, you know, the better off we continue to play, the more opportunities are presented to those guys too. But we're very pleased. I mean, it's not a result of just one game. I think we saw that this past week. But really, they've showed improvement, again, throughout training camp, even through the first 3 weeks. You know, I don't think statistics and production necessarily always tell the story on those things. But
after the game, Nico Collins said he felt like the offense was playing with some swag, and even on the mic'd up, D'Amico said they were playing like you guys had confidence. How did you see that throughout the game, and what can that do for offense when a team is playing?
Yeah, I think anytime you can sustain some drives and make some plays, and you have that energy, that's the joy of playing the game of football. So you know, you feel that, and you feel that from out on the practice field. We got a great group of guys that loves to compete. So excited to see us get, you know, push and really make some improvement in some areas. You know, still got a ways to go where we want to be, but yeah, you can feel that it's infectious. And you know, that confidence, obviously, it all starts, honestly, starting on the practice field. So I said it over and over again, the better you practice, the better chance you have to go out and play. And I think we're starting to show improvements, and we just got to keep focusing that way, keep starting, and then work to finish some of these drives a little bit better.
You are listening to Texans offensive coordinator Nick Caley.
That kind of transforms the game, and
sure,
and you get rolling right after that. You mentioned some of the early down struggles, second and longs, third and longs. When you're able to convert something like that, does that alter or adjust maybe willingness to take a chance on some of those longer downs when you do face them?
Yeah, I mean, look, we're going to take our chances. We game plan that way to be able to take chances. Obviously, second and 30 plus is obviously a little bit of we don't want to avoid those situations. But yeah, a great example is CJ and Nico making a great play between two great players that have a lot of, you know, great rapport with each other. But sure, I mean, the biggest thing I take away, to be honest, is just to sit there and be able to stay out of those situations allows you to activate more in your game plan, just generally speaking. But yeah, it was a hell of a play and a spark, and it, you know, you could feel that, and I think you know, it kind of reverberated throughout the entire team. It was great.
You talked about being physical.
up front, do you feel like your offensive line is as physical as you would like?
Yeah, they are a tough group. They are physical. Is it perfect? Is the technique always great? No, but you could say that at a multitude of positions. But they are tough. They're physical. They play that way. They practice that way. Cole and Zach Yenzer do a great job. And that's what we strive to be, is a tough physical outfit. Above everything else, like, we want to execute, we want to do all this things, but we want to be tough and physical. And it starts with the guys up front and extends to, obviously, the tight ends. And then when you get into the run game, the receivers too.
When you have a team reeling like the Ravens are with different injuries, how do you take advantage of that?
Yeah, by taking care of ourselves and worrying about ourselves. We got to practice the right way. We got to go out and we got to execute. They have a history of having a very, very good team. They're well coached. They're physical. You got to go play a clean game, and you got to play a physical game, and you got to be able to sustain drives. And that's about us having the right approach, us, you know, playing clean, and us being able to do the things right with good fundamentals and techniques.
Nick, the first quarter sack with Jeffrey Simmons there has received a lot of attention online.
Sure.
Two guys running into each other, four or five, blocking one guy. After watching it on film, or can you explain what happened
there? Yeah, it was just a miscue. It was a miscue on the play. I mean, it happened fast. I looked up, and it happened so damn fast that you couldn't believe it. But it was just a miscue. Nothing egregious by any sense. We've got to do a better job of overall communicating at the line of scrimmage.
Is there something that can be done differently, like pre-snap communication?
No, I think we're always trying to clean it. I mean, it was, you know, one time in the game where something like that happened. We have a pretty conscientious group of guys, and you know, no.
You talked about the improvement that you guys have made over, like, kind of week to week. How have some of the shortcomings that y'all had earlier, some of the earlier games, helped kind of inform you guys and sort of making some of those improvements?
Well, I think it forces you to make those improvements. I mean, you want to stay out of long yardage situations. I mean, it's really hard to activate, again, a lot of the things that you want to do in the game plan when you're sitting there in 2nd and 12, 2nd and 14, 3rd and 13. So it's about staying on track. What's that come from? Efficient 1st and 2nd down plays, and obviously execution. So eliminating penalties is big. Obviously, those are big. And then we had a couple games where we had more, you know, we had turnovers, and we don't want to have those either. So ball security is always at the forefront, but just focusing in on those things even more to play clean and possess the football and not beat ourselves, you know, with penalties, pre-snap penalties especially.
If I could piggyback off that, I don't know if this is revealing too much. If it is, I understand. But what was supposed to happen on that play?
Yeah, I mean, it was a play that there was an alert on the play, and there was just miscommunication on the alert.
CJ mentioned that you've done a good job of listening to him and listening to the team about what they like kind of over these first 4 weeks. Just kind of what's the balance in taking that feedback but also like running your offense?
Yeah, well, I think we have our core principles. We have our offense, our structures, and our DNA. What I think you want to do is, and I don't know what he was alluding to necessarily, but I think it's there are strengths of certain players, and then obviously the quarterback position, you want to have a relationship and you want to be able to discuss things with the quarterback, and there's certain things that we adjust throughout the week, whether that's Wednesday to Thursday to maybe even Friday, subtle tweaks or changes. Could be a formation, could be a movement, could be a coaching point on a particular play, and we're always going to do what we got to do to be able to tweak those things to put us in the best position possible. And I think the quarterback's going to be the guy that's driving those things, so we have those conversations on a daily basis, him and I. That's what we're here to you know, again, we got to see it through the same eyes, and we don't always have to agree on the same things, but it's good conversation, and I think it helps him get a feel for how I see things, and then ultimately I get a feel for how he might see things or interpret things, and we can arrive at the decision that's best for our offense. But ultimately, we have our offense, and I think it's evolved, as you can see, even in short time in 4 weeks, and we'll see where it goes, you know.
Just real quick, going back to the confidence thing, how do you personally go about, throughout the week, practicing in-game, just, you know, kind of instilling that into your players?
Yeah, by going out and doing the things the right way consistently when you practice. You gain confidence by having a high level of execution of doing those things and knowing that you've done them well, and then having confidence that when those opportunities come in the game, you're ready for it. And that's the biggest thing. You know, you don't get confidence by not being put in situations where you've ever experienced something or lack of success in an area. You get confidence by building from having success and having repeated exposures and being able to improve and enhance those exposures by execution. And that's where confidence comes from, in my opinion. So thank you.
All right, that was the offensive coordinator Nick Caley ahead of one of the biggest games of his tenure here with the Texans against a team that I think a lot of people expect that the Texans should have success against because of what's happened to this defense and the injuries. Anything jump out to you?
I think probably for me, Ron, the way that he ended right there was pretty telling. I mean, whether it's practice – or it's game. I know with this game, past game, the Titans game, I mentioned in the post game, and I mentioned it on Monday when you and I reacted to it. I said that there's no substitute for going out there and executing something and having success and seeing success at the end of the play, whether that be a chunk play, an explosive, a great read, a great communication, a touchdown, a field goal, whatever it may be. There's nothing better than that as you're installing an offense and as you're trying to gel together. And I was saying that in reference to C.J. Stroud, obviously, checking to Higgins and throwing the touchdown. But that's the significance of that Titans game moving forward. Was that a game where things came a little bit easier, yeah, and the crew had a little success and they were like, oh, okay. And they bought in a little deeper and got better at things. What Nick Caley was saying right there at the end was he was talking about practice, but I think the Titans game was obviously important from that perspective as well.
Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL games all season long, kicking it off with the game we've just been listening to Nick Caley talk about, that matchup between the Houston Texans and Baltimore Ravens. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. 5 o'clock fire coming up as we look at the official injury report and get you ready for the Thursday night football game. And these baseball playoffs are getting tight right now. We'll get you going with all of that coming up next right here live on the Drive.